Welcome to College Football Roundtable, your source for college football coverage, including major storylines,
playoffs,
can't miss game previews, and picks each week. Join your hosts, Dan, Rob, and Jordan at the roundtable for a show unlike anything else. As for Football presents the College Football Roundtable.
Welcome back. We're about 15 days away from the start of college football. We're quickly closing in on the 2025 season, and we have lots of college football coverage in the lead up to the first week's action. We've already started compiling preseason scouting reports, and we had a great interview in the works for you to check out, of not only for week zero, but the start of the Army football season. What's up, Trash Talkers? Welcome back to the College Football Roundtable, or if you prefer, you can just call it Ring Knocker Radio. I'm your host, Rob, the Angry Colonel in Fayetteville, North Carolina. We got Dano Ikebesa calling out of Coastal Connecticut. Trigger Joe is coming to you live from the home of the Big House, and Omar is joining us today from the home of the Sooners and Pistol Pete. Anyway, we're 1 week closer to college football. How are we doing today, guys?
Never better, man. Swim Across the Sound is done. I am fully locked into football mode. I'm so excited for the start of the season. Got a beer. I know Joe's got a beer. I'm ready.
Mine's got a flag on it.
How about you, Joe?
Man, with all the all the Bryce Underwood whispers 15 miles down the road from me, and the fact that, you know, Sherrone Moore's going back to his alma mater to play Oklahoma, that's gonna be a solid game. Two blue bloods, you know. But and if he wins the job, it's gonna be a big test for Michigan. So I'm not overlooking New Mexico, but you know, it's Oklahoma, so should be a real fun first month of the season.
Yeah, Omar, how about you?
I mean, honestly, just looking forward to it. Honestly, more cramming stuff into, you know, the offseason, kind of procrastinated hitting that 11:59 deadline with all the preseason stuff. But it's exciting down here. I just found out, though, that not only does a guy in the cube, does a civilian in the cubicle across from me, an Ohio State fan, but also the colonel that's in charge. And I've been heavy on the Ryan Day jokes, honestly, and heavy on the Davis, heavy on the Davis Warren. Like every other, anytime I mention Michigan, I keep telling my best friend, like, hey, Davis Warren. Warren's got next. Davis Warren's a proven winner.
I double down on that now that you know. That's just me. I don't have to deal with them on Monday.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So if you've listened to the show, and speaking of like finding a home, sounds like Omar's found a home in his new office at least. We have a sponsor here at Ask for Football. It's Jocelyn Bradley. She's a realtor. If you're PCSing to the Fort Bragg area, we have the realtor for you. Jocelyn is an Army veteran who spent her career in logistics. There, she discovered her passion for making a difference in people's lives. She's committed to helping her clients find their dream home when they're in the market, and she provides exceptional service when she's working for you. Jocelyn also has an extensive network of veteran realtors who can support you if you're relocating anywhere else in the country. So if you're looking for a home, Jocelyn should be your first call. Jocelyn's decided to support us for Ask for Football again. She re-upped again for us, and that's huge. And she's the right person to get you in the home of your dreams. Hey, if you're not even moving to Bragg, it's PCS time. Like, if you are either moving to, if you're coming out of a basic course or some type of training environment, you should be moving into a new spot. You will always make more if you buy versus rent. And I can say that just from a life coaching perspective, but literally Jocelyn is the person that help you get you into your home. And yeah, so reach out to her. She's got a high level of integrity, and it's always the type of person that we want to support, and they're willing to support us. So that is it. So I'm going to give you a quick rundown about the Ask for Football College Football Roundtable. If this is your first time joining us, this is our opportunity to talk about college football. We got Joe from the Veteran Trash Talk. We've got Omar this year, who's going to be joining us as a regular, and Dano and myself. This allows us to talk about general college football topics, the things that kind of, you know, bug us about college football, or things that we just want to talk about, you know, like transfer portal or NIL monies or all the different things that are going on in the sport that we all love. Gives us a chance to talk about it in a public forum. Plus, it allows us to hedge our bets. If things aren't going so well for Army, we could still talk about college football and not be too miserable, because we can talk about other things. We also cross-promote this show with the Veteran Trash Talk team. They're a promotional partner as far as the video version of this podcast is concerned. They just give us a wider audience of non-academy people, right? So, like, Ask for Football focuses in on, you know, the typical cadet experience. And, you know, partnering with some of our partners allows us to widen that aperture and get more people in here. Hey, we talk about the other service academies because typically we don't on the Ask for Football show because we really don't care about them other than we start talking about college football writ large and focusing in on the American now that Army has transitioned over into the American Conference for football. And ultimately, this is the show where we make our picks. Members of the Firsty Club, here's your warning order. We're going to bring you on to talk if you are about your favorite games of the week and things like that. But ultimately, what this show is, college football. We talk about college football writ large. One of the things I mentioned to Dano earlier. So if you're listening to the show and you're paying attention, drop your comments in the chat and I am going to write them down and we're going to build an Ask for Football college football roundtable bingo card. Right. So if you fill out the bingo card, you could potentially win some of the old, I got stickers and mugs that James made about 2 years ago for tailgating. So you can get some of those delivered to your home if you win on the bingo card. But without further ado, I'll pass it over to Dan to talk about service academies for last year's standings.
Yo, man, you gave me a full-on wall of text here, so I'm going to try to condense this a little bit. But Army ended 12-2, won its first ever conference championship, winning the American Conference in their first year ever in the conference, beat Air Force at home, won a super entertaining contest at North Texas down in Denton, beat Tulane on a frigid night that I enjoyed like all hell being in the stands out there, bowl win against La Tech. It was really a great year to be an Army football fan. I mean, didn't beat Notre Dame, lost the Army-Navy game, unfortunately, but everything else went Army's way, and it was a really a dream season. So we'll see how it goes this year, but man, you know, you got to enjoy the good times when you got them. That's if you haven't learned that yet as an Army fan, I don't know how to help you. Air Force went 5-7 last year, which, you know, we enjoyed as Army fans, but as the service academies writ large, like they didn't really represent until the end of the year. You know, they started a new quarterback up at Mikey Stadium and played much better, although they lost. But then they turned around and won 4 straight and actually looked like a pretty respectable team by the end of the season. That quarterback has transferred, so we'll see what the Zoomies have in mind. And finally, Navy, they went 2-3, stole a bit of Army shine in the Army-Navy game. They look like a team to potentially beat in the American Conference this year. So we'll see how they do. They've got kind of a tough end of last month of the season. So I'm fully expecting them to be undefeated going to their Notre Dame game in early November. And then we'll see what's what. And Rob wants me to point out that this is the part of the show where we do the FCS academies. So if you have other FCS teams that you want to cover, and here I'm staring straight at Omar, we're open to input. So, you know, yeah, there you go.
All right. Hey, so let's talk about preseason top 10. Joe, over to you.
All right. We all know the top 10 is what it is in the preseason. So I gave a little paragraph for each team and what they did and what they should look like. So loosely. All right. Number one, it's the beginning of the Arch Manning era in Austin, Texas. There's plenty to expect from this team as they are always loaded with talent. The truth will be revealed in week one when they travel to Columbus to face the defending national champion, Ohio State Buckeyes. And oof, it hurts every time I say that. So I that was what the oof was about. But at number two, we got the Penn State Nittany Lions, and they're coming off a 13-3 season. The first top five finish in James Franklin's career at Penn State and the first in the university's last 19 seasons. Losses like Abdul Carter and Tyler Warren to the NFL will be tough to replace, but this team literally has every other position covered, mainly by their field general and spectacular quarterback, Drew Aller. They'll get their season started with a tune-up on August 30th against Nevada at Beaver Stadium. And then we have the Buckeyes. They come in at number three as the defending national champs. And they have a chance to make some real noise early as they will be hosting the Longhorns, and the Buckeyes are fully expecting to win this game, like 100%. You go to Columbus, ask 100 people, you get 100 yeses. With receiver like Jeremiah Smith returning for blood in the Michigan rivalry and talent littered at every position, these Buckeyes truly are poised to defend their title. At number four, we got Clemson, and I will keep a straight face. I may sound like a broken record about these top four teams, but even according to Clemson standards, this team is absolutely loaded. 16 of their 20 top players are returning, including quarterback and potential Heisman candidate Cade Klubnik. He returns not one, not two, but all three of his top three wideouts from last year in what should be an absolutely ferocious downfield passing attack. The best part about this one is we get to find out how good they are as they host the ninth-ranked LSU Tigers in week one in the Battle of Death Valley. Will they Clemson or will they Bama? Number five, we got the Bulldogs of Georgia. In my opinion, remains the biggest question in the top five for the 2025 season. With huge additions to the passing game from transfer wideout receivers like Noah Thomas, who led A&M last year, and Zachariah Branch from USC, who's explosive, this team should have no trouble throwing the ball downfield with Gunnar Stockton. I think the question that everybody wants to know is, will Georgia get back to running the football the way they did when Kirby Smart established his dominance in the SEC? With games against Bama and Texas at home this year, Athens is buzzing with a potential title run. You know what? I actually don't have Georgia's first game on like beneath their name here, and somebody might need to bail me out. But at number six, we got Notre Dame, and Marcus Freeman and the Irish made an incredible playoff run last year. And if you've heard and made it to the national title game, and if you heard anything outside of South Bend this offseason, they're looking for more in 2025. Now, whether it's Kenny Minchie or CJ Carr taking the snaps at QB this year, we all know the person they'll be handing it off to is none other than the absolute bell cow and future first-round draft pick Jeremiah Love. The run he made against Penn State last year to take the lead in the fourth quarter is one of the toughest two-yard touchdown runs I've ever seen. They also return college football's version of the no-fly zone and possibly the best secondary in the nation. The Irish are going to be tested early as they start their season against number 10 Miami at the Hard Rock on 8/31. And number seven, we got the Oregon Ducks coming in after an incredible inaugural season in the Big Ten in 2024 that saw them win the Big Ten in their first year. I've been old enough to see teams enter the Big Ten and be humbled like Nebraska and Penn State. So in my opinion, what Oregon did was very profound. Hats off to them. But the problem with poking the bear is he might catch you, and that's what happened with Ohio State. The Ducks return a top five defense or offensive line and should have a solid rushing attack behind transfer running back Mekhi Hughes. The defense is a top 10 in the nation, loaded with studs, and Oregon crushed the transfer portal. They get things going with a nice warm-up game against Montana State on the 30th. At number eight, we got the Crimson Tide of Alabama, and Kalen DeBoer's first season trying to replace the GOAT can only be considered a disappointment by Alabama standards as it saw them go 9-4, very un-Bama. Of course, Alabama returns a very good defense. They have Ryan Williams on offense who can take the lid off or hit you from 99 yards away at any time. They're going to have speed. They're going to have a solid defense. And the question is at quarterback. But I fully expect Bama to have double-digit wins. The Tide start their season in Tallahassee against Florida State on the 30th. At number nine, we got the LSU Tigers. After going under 10 wins and outside the AP top 10 at the end of the season for the first time in Brian Kelly's tenure, having said that, the problem was not on the offensive side of the ball. LSU didn't play very good defense last year in key moments, and the losses piled up. But returning QB Garrett Nussmeier is a potential first-round pick, and I know LSU was busy in the transfer portal on defense in the offseason. They better bring their A game in week one because, as I previously stated, they've got Clemson. And rounding out the top 10, we got the Miami Hurricanes, who come in at number 10 after an amazing 2024 campaign. Having said that, it has to feel like a year that got away. Having the number one overall draft pick lead the number one offense and look like a recipe for a national title until the last month of the season. And Miami somehow found themselves outside looking in at the playoffs and the ACC title. Miami came out firing in the portal and got Carson Beck. And we'll find out how good Miami is very quick as they host Notre Dame on the 30th.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy top 10. So, guys, quickly, what are your thoughts on the preseason top 10? Joe, you already talked your piece. We'll go Omar and then
Daniel. Thank you. I was going to say, I said a lot.
So, honestly, like, within the transfer portal era, and this is something I experienced filling out my own top 25 for Hero Sports on the FCS level, it's like you can't really tell any of these teams what they're going to be, honestly. So at this point, like, why release the preseason polls anyways? That's just what I'm going to talk about. I am surprised, though, about the high stock in the ACC. I think Clemson at four is amazing. That's great that the Riders don't have, I guess, SEC vision and Big Ten vision to a lesser degree. I'm more fascinated with Miami because, as I think later on, as what comes on later on in this outline about paths to the championship, your conference championship game, Miami has a very smooth path my like the only kind of eliminator type of game that they have is Miami versus SMU, which I can see them easily handling SMU. Well, not easily, but I mean, it can go either way. But otherwise, it's a very smooth path to the conference title. Notre Dame, I mean, returning or changing their quarterbacks could help Miami in the first game, help them to kind of steal a win. They could be heading into the ACC title game at 11-2. Sorry, not 11-2, 11-1. And then the ACC can have two teams in the playoffs. But the question is, will Mario Cristobal end up Cristobaling? We've seen it in 2019 with Oregon, where Oregon, all they had to do was beat a 7-5 Sun Bowl-bound Arizona State team and a quarterback named Jaden Daniels, who will become John Bernthal's favorite quarterback later on, you know, in the future before we find out, ended up upsetting Oregon. You know, and then, of course, with what this past year with the meltdown in Syracuse or the meltdown in the Dome, I wish I had a more clever name for that. But that's the question. Will Mario Cristobal this year for Miami?
Yeah, that's an interesting take. Dana, how about you?
I think I'm just going to double down on what Omar said. It's interesting that these guys put Penn State at number two and Clemson at number four. Like, I'm sure that those will be good teams, but it's honestly hard for me to imagine Penn State winning the Big Ten. I mean, it's like every year Penn State's going to win the Big Ten and then they just don't. And it just feels like this is the kind of thing that sells newspapers to large fan bases rather than a serious pick for serious people. And maybe I'm wrong and that's great, but dude, that is not the way it's been. So, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll switch over to the FPI if you really want to get disgusted. So I watched a 4-minute segment on ESPN early today about threw up in my mouth because, like, just the SEC and the Big Ten bias is atrocious. Like, and it's all over the FPI. So if you look at the top five in the FPI, you got Texas, UGA, Bama, OSU, and Penn State, right? That's the top five. I mean, I get it. Returning production, playoff teams, yes, but, like, come on, guys. Like, it's really crazy. And then it gets even weirder when you start looking at the service academies, because Army's ranked 96th, 121 in 2024, and they ended up being a conference champion. Air Force is ranked 127. That's a big drop because they were 106 in 2024. And then Navy is 87th, and they were 124th in 2024 as well. So, I mean, there are some big changes in moving around. Notable games on Army's schedule. Army has K-State early, which is going to be a tough game. Again, they're going to be playing in Manhattan, Kansas, so that's always a tough place to play in old Bill Snyder Stadium. UTSA, they've got in the carrier, you know, in the Dome, which is always nuts. And so that was going to be a pretty tough day regardless. And then notable games for Air Force, they got Boise State early, and that's really the only thing to talk about on their schedule, so they should have a good record this season because they don't really have a lot of stiff competition, so they should be able to knock it out. And then notable for Navy, as always, Air Force in December, Notre Dame, they have Tulane and ECU, and like, look, if Tulane and ECU are anything like they were last year, they're going to get hot towards the second half of the season, and that could be, you know, a dangerous matchup for the mids as they go into the season. And then, of course, Army Navy, you can throw records out the window because it's your typical rivalry game. But thoughts on the schedule for these guys? We'll go Dana, Omar, and then Joe.
I mean, you know, we already said this. Navy should have a really good team. They got a lot of returning seniors. They got an outstanding quarterback. You know, I don't love it, but let's be honest, right? This is kind of the reality that we live in. As long as Jordan Horvath stays healthy, these guys really don't have any excuse for missing the American Conference Championship game. As far as Army's concerned, like, let's see how week one goes with three new offensive linemen and a new starting quarterback. I think they've got the rest of skill positions on offense, and that defense should be better. And Air Force, like, their quarterback right now has taken something like 40 snaps in one start. So, like, they might be better. They might not be better. We'll see. I think they'll probably be better towards the end of the season, though.
Yeah, for sure. Omar, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, just echoing what Dano said. So I guess with Navy, I just want to spotlight the fact that they're playing Notre Dame in primetime on NBC. And, like, I don't care if these are immortal rivals. I'm going to look at this from a perspective as a Service Academy football fan. Like, that's honestly really cool. The first time in, I think, the Notre Dame deal is 34 years old that they've chosen to put the Navy game in primetime. And this is only the fourth matchup in primetime all time for the Notre Dame Navy series. It's really good. It's great. It's great for college football when the Service Academies are I guess relevant is the best term, but when they're must-see TV, I guess I should say. So it'll be interesting to see them. That Notre Dame game, I'm looking forward to it just because of the fact that, you know, they'll have their own a Big Ten Saturday Night or NBC Saturday Night theme song, you know. Better screen cap those because Peacock makes them disappear after a while. I tried rewatching the intro for the Army Notre Dame game and I couldn't find it. So thanks, Peacock. I'm really getting the most out of my $20 a year.
but you better pick up the slack because Paramount just signed UFC, so you're not looking so hot next to them.
Yeah, so it's really not a great service, honestly. But I mean, I don't want to go into tangent because I have thoughts on the movie selection there. But with airports,
all right, we're not sponsored by them.
We're not in mid-season form here.
With Air Force, though, I think it's interesting, like you guys said, the quarterback, like Quentin Hayes going to the Citadel was honestly the left turn of the offseason, I think, for the Academy. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. But the bottom of the Mountain West looks pretty bad, to be honest with you. So like you said, there's not much stiff competition, but also don't laugh. You guys didn't mention the UConn game. I'm really starting to buy into the UConn hype because that schedule is light. UConn's experienced. And honestly, that's a team. That's a team, I think, before they play Air Force on November 15th, I think the only really losable games or games where they'll probably be an underdog is Boston College. But Boston College really hasn't been good recently. And then Syracuse. So we're looking at a one-loss team when they play Air Force, potentially ranked in the top 20, top 25. So that's another one to watch out for. Baby.
Go Huskies.
Yeah, well, and the other part of it is like the most experienced quarterback at Boston College also transferred to Florida State. So Castellanos is gone. So there's quite a bit of action there. And I mean, not bad analysis. Joe, what do you think?
You know, I kind of leave most of the service academy stuff to you guys because you know the rosters a little bit better than I do as far as like the preseason goes. Yeah. Because they don't cover on ESPN, they don't cover the service academies like that. So, but I agree with the fact the proof is in the pudding, and we'll find out what you know how good some of these teams are after a month. But I do like the fact that Army doesn't have like a top five powerhouse midseason though. I'm sorry, I just didn't like enjoying. Like I didn't enjoy watching that happen to an Army team that maybe they could have snuck in the playoffs back door. All right. I'm not saying it's like the proudest moment, but could you imagine in a 12 team playoff, if you erase that Notre Dame game, Army goes and makes a case for themselves to get into a 12 team playoff. And even if they wear that beating in the first round, a service academy went to the freaking playoffs. Like, could you imagine how cool that would be just for the moment?
It would have been very hard with the way the end of the season broke out. You had Notre Dame, deathmatch against UTSA, American Conference Championship game, Army-Navy, and then the next week you were going to turn around and try to play a playoff game. Like, dude, that was not going to be very easy. I hear what you're saying, don't get me wrong, but were going to get shellacked.
There was always going to be the SMUs and Indianas of the playoffs, you know? And so I was like, why can't it just be a bunch of guys that signed up to do something bigger than themselves? I don't know. When I wrote the outline down, I was like, I better cut my mic off before Daniel tells me quit dreaming. I knew he'd talk sense to me. He's
yeah. So for me, I don't put much stock in the FBI. The two reasons being one, the transfer portal, and two, player development. Like I'm banking on coaches now, right? Like I'm willing to put my heart behind or my thoughts behind the coach that has the best opportunity to put somebody together. My concern is, you know, the Ohio State Texas game. And I say that just because like who's Arch Manning's backup, right? I had to look the kid up, you know, he transferred in from Troy as a 14 touchdowns, 8 picks. And if he gets rattled or shaken up by that defensive front that Ohio State typically puts together, because like if you're a defensive end and you play college football, you probably want to go to Ohio State because they have a history of putting wide receivers and defensive ends into the league. So I think that'll be probably the most interesting contest. And then I saw something on social media. Somebody changed their handle to Heisman Horvath. And I'm like, okay, I hope that person's not on active duty because the next time the piss test comes around, they're going to, you know, get very closely inspected and probably chaptered out of the military because they're on some serious drugs, you know. And that's just based – and I say that just because, like, look at the performance last year that Bryson Daly had. You know, more rushing touchdowns than any other quarterback in college football, didn't even make it into the room. And I got it, you know, with the timing of the Army-Navy game and everything else, but, you know, didn't even get an invite. You know, so I seriously doubt, like, unless Horvath, you know, turns into the second coming of, you know, Roger Staubach, I just don't see him sitting in the Heisman Trophy room either.
I've got a theory on that. I blame Eric Crouch.
That's fair.
Eric Crouch took the legitimacy away from every white option quarterback, and it doesn't have to be about white guys, but I'm just saying, they never, like, it's always like, yeah, we know what that is. We know next level. Yeah, you're peaking, son. You may not know it, but you're peaking, okay? You know what Eric Crouch did? He quit the team. He did give the signing bonus back, though, and I respect. He said it wasn't for him. Yeah.
Fair point. So we're going to move on into today's topic. The topic today is your sleeper team of the 2025 season. This was the topic that was voted on the socials by the team, so we're going to cover it in week one. Not to say that any of these picks will survive the season. We just have to be honest. But, you know, being the roundtable true, we wanted to give you something a little bit what we're looking at. You know, alternative views of the college football season. We'll start with Dano, move over to Omar, Joe, and then I'll close it out. Dano.
Well, this is supposed to be an American Conference podcast now, so I'm going to stay in the American. And I like either USF or ECU to make that jump to the next level and potentially contend finally for that American Conference championship game. Like, I don't know that can happen, but, dude, Byron Brown, if he can stay healthy for the Bulls, is a really good player. And they could absolutely get where they want to go if he, you know, puts it all together finally. But with that said, if I was betting money right now, I would probably take UTSA to win the conference. I don't think that counts as a sleeper pick since, like, UTSA is known to be one of the better teams in the conference, but they return, like, everyone off what was already a good team last year. I don't know if you remember, but they won four straight and then, you know, before that Army loss, and then beat the snot out of whoever they played in that bowl game. So if you want my pick is probably UTSA at Memphis for the conference championship game, but USF is my sleeper, maybe.
All right. That's a good one. Sounds good. How about you, Omar?
Oh, my sleeper pick is San Jose State. I mean, everyone's talking about Pats. I guess I mentioned Pats earlier on. San Jose State avoids not just Boise State, not just UNLV, but also Colorado State, who also kind of latched on in the last part of last season as the Mountain West kind of underdog second, I guess, contender or third contender for the championship. So they avoid all those teams. That's a team with a quarterback that started in the back half of the year in Weston Eget, who kind of took his lumps early on in his starting tenure. But I mean, he's in his second year in that run and shoot system under Ken Niumatalolo. You know that the Colt is going to be good with that program, and they got a good stable of backs. Like, they had one of their backs go off in the bowl game. Floyd Chalk returns, and the only thing more dangerous than the run and shoot is the run and shoot with an actual run game. So, and imagine the chagrin of Boise State and the Pac-12 cabal, or the Pac-12 departures, if San Jose State, one of the Island of Misfit Toys Mountain West teams, ends up winning the conference over Boise State and ends up making the playoff with a 12-1 record and a semi-competitive loss to Texas, which I don't think a lot of people are talking about that possibility, where, like, if the American champion loses two games, it's realistic to think that San Jose State could sneak in with a win over a one-loss Boise State team that beats Notre Dame and just one loss to Texas. So that San Jose State, feels like 2020 again.
That would be a lot of chaos, dude. I mean, I'd love to see it, but that would be a lot of chaos.
Yeah, for sure. Joe, how about you?
All right, you guys are going to make me look like the unoriginal one because I went a little different. All right. I'm just saying, my sleeper team is Michigan. And the reason why I say that is, has anyone talked about them preseason as a contender in the Big Ten? I'm 15 miles down the road, and I can tell you, gentlemen, they are 100% a contender to win the Big Ten title. They avoid a lot of things. I mean, no Penn State, no Oregon, no Indiana. Like, Indiana sounds like, oh, Indiana, but Michigan goes there in November once every 3 years and ruins the season. So their path is actually pretty sweet. And they managed to beat Ohio State and Alabama. I'm kind of going off my script, and I'm going to make it a little shorter than what I wrote down because I went through some transfer portals and everything, like who they picked up. But they beat Ohio State and Alabama with Davison. What, Omar, is his first name Davison or Donovan? I'm a Michigan fan.
Davis Warren. He's a proven winner. You should know. He's a proven winner. Yeah. Davis Warren.
Very correct. And he will go down in Michigan history as an absolute legend. He'll never buy a beer in Ann Arbor again. But Michigan had no passing attack last year. And for the first time in my life, my first Michigan game was before my first day of school. I have never seen a 6'4" athletic running back quarterback at Michigan. It's like, dude, what did we do to deserve this? Michigan's never had that. They've never had a quarterback that can flush the pocket and make you pay and throw it 60 yards. They had Denard Robinson, but he was 5'6". And I'm just saying, if Michigan's defense lives up to the hype and Bryce Underwood's anywhere near what they say, they can make a serious run in Ann Arbor.
All right. Well, I don't know if that's actually a sleeper, but that is a fair assessment, Joe. So
no one's picking them to be in the conference title picture. So I'm like, hey, man, they could be there.
Yeah.
The Ohio State game could be the one who goes in that game.
That might be the make or break point, which would be interesting. My sleeper team is going to be the Ramblin' Wreck from Georgia Tech. And I say that because, like, do I think they'll win the ACC? No, but I think they'll pull off 10 wins this season. Their path is fairly easy. They got a challenge early, but it's a Shadourless Colorado team, right? They're starting there. We're going to see how well Prime was able to rebuild in the offseason, you know, with what he has. They match up well with the majority of their opponents. Their most challenging test comes in the term of Clemson, which is an in-conference game, and, you know, Georgia Tech rivalry, which is an out-of-conference game. So potentially they could be in the driver's seat in the ACC or close to the top and at least be competitive. I think they'll beat up on Temple and Wake and win one of their close games. They might split one against Duke, Pitt, and Syracuse. But again, like a respectable season for Georgia Tech. And also, if they can keep Haynes King healthy, and I think that was really the downfall of their season last year, was he got hurt and he was playing with a lot of injuries towards the tail end of the year. But like, if you watch that game, the performance, like go back and watch the performance he had against Miami last year. Like, if you're a coach in college football and your quarterback plays like that, you know, against a team as talented as Miami is, like, you got a potential Heisman candidate that's going to be in there. I think the Yellow Jackets win 10 and get a decent playoff opportunity. Maybe definitely a good bowl game this season. But, yeah, speaking of opportunities and making good choices, Dano, could you do the next read?
Friends, if you have listened to this show before, you know that Craig Oxane, area sales rep for The Money Store, is one of our sponsors. Craig is a member of the West Point class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states, based out of Chicago. He is one of the most successful VA lenders in the entire country. He is going to offer you super competitive rates, give you the best deal on a mortgage that he possibly can. I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but like, it's crazy out there, right? The mortgage process is super confusing. Interest rates bouncing all over the place. If you can tell me what's going to happen in the next 6 months with the economy, I'll give you $5. Like, it's just not the time to try to deal with some clown who's trying to make a buck off you. It's very challenging, right? You want to deal with somebody who cares, not a call center, not some random big box bank or mindless website. And this is how the West Point Network functions, right? Craig is helping us stay in business here at Astro Football, and we're helping you get the best deal on a mortgage that we can by introducing you to the man that you need to meet. And this is important now. Craig does not charge lending fees for veterans. It's a huge savings, like $1,300. $1,300. Get that money. Seriously. So Craig Oxane, Vice President of Residential Lending. Check him out. Link is on our website. Just go to astrofootball.com. He's got a little business card. So does Jocelyn, for that matter. Click on the business card. You'll be talking to either of them. We know you guys are PCSing somewhere this summer. It's cool. You know, talk to Jocelyn. Find a realtor you can trust. Talk to Craig. Get a mortgage that works for you. Like, we are trying to help you. I know exactly what it's like to be in the Army, and we are trying to help.
Thanks, Dano. And without further ado, like, we actually had people in the chat asking about this, and Joe Trigger Joe has the Blue Falcon. We're not going to do the Blue Falcon of the week because we're going to do the Blue Falcon of the off season. But we'll turn the floor over to Joe to see who's in college football infamy this week.
Oh, for crying out loud! I tell you, I picked a doozy. All right, I'm missing one page. All right, got it. Okay, all right. Cue the suspenseful music. There were several candidates for the first ever off-season Blue Falcon Award, and then I did a little light reread about Kenny Burns, former head coach of Kent State. I think we can all admit that Kent State football is a dumpster fire. Under Burns' tutelage, though, the team went 1-23 in two seasons and 0-12 last year. Now, I'm in MAC country, and I follow the MAC pretty closely because they have three schools that triangulate my position. Winless is unacceptable even at Kent State. But it isn't Burns' on-field performance that got his name on the wall of Blue Falconry. Get ready for this. The former Minnesota running backs coach was put on administrative leave. That's Ken Burns. Yeah, that's where he came from, to Kent State. Was put on administrative leave in March and terminated in April because he had racked up $24,000 in credit card debt on his personal credit card and was being sued by a local bank near the school. The man makes $475,000 a year, and he's spending like a teenager who just won the lottery. Bro, what kind of example are you setting for these kids? Not to mention, any progress you made is now at very best paused while the offensive coordinator Mike Carney takes over as the interim head coach. And you make $500,000 a year, but can't take care of a $20,000 bill. My man, if that isn't stepping over dollars to pick up dimes logic, then I don't know what is. And you're the head coach of a D1 football team. Now, excuse my D1 reference. I am 45 years old. But it's just very disappointing to see. And I really feel for the kids that stuck around after an 0-12 season because they believed in their coach, only to find out that he would risk his position in their life over a $20,000 credit card bill. Anyway, Kenny Burns, you are the first Blue Falcon of the offseason. And as for football history, and I feel like well-deserved because you left your team 2 months before the season started. Oof, man, wouldn't you be pissed if you were one of those, like a single mom that trusted the dude? And what a betrayal to your players.
Trying to get that $20,000 at the local club.
He makes $500,000.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy that you would step into an environment like that. So we're going to move on to the game.
I hate to kick a man when he's down because he got fired, and I hope he gets another job in coaching. But, dude, you know, you're supposed to be shaping young men. And I mean, I know Service Academy guys, we take that a little more seriously because there's life and death dependent on it sometimes, but it doesn't change anything, man. You're getting those guys ready for life, and you teach them that that's the way you do it when you get money. Frustrating.
100%. All right, so we're moving on. Games of the week. So we're coming up on week zero. Actually, games start next week. Geez. So the opening game is going to be Kansas State versus Iowa State, which is a weird one, man. It's like they're playing in Dublin, which is cool. I think that's great for, you know, both of those teams get some TV time. And, you know, in the Aer Lingus stadium does pretty well with, the American football teams that come there. You know, they sell booze. They have all kinds of stuff. And it's a tourist destination. So if you're a K-State or Iowa State fan, great. That kicks off at noon on ESPN. Yeah, Idaho State and UNLV kicking off at 4 o'clock on the – I think that's on the sports network. Fresno State at Kansas is going to be 6:30 on Fox. You got Sam Houston State at Western Kentucky at 7 p.m. on the CBS Sports Network. And then Stanford at Hawaii for those of you that want to watch the late game. And that'll be CBS or Paramount Plus. Army fan takes notes also that Tarleton State plays Portland State on Saturday at 4:30 on ESPN2. So that would be a good game to watch, particularly if you're trying to scout a future Army opponent. But those are the games for week zero. I mean, not a laundry list, not a whole slate of games, but, you know, there's some pretty compelling contests in there. We'll move on to our weekly locks. But this week, we're not going to give our picks. If you are in the Firsty Club, you'll get to see, like, the full analysis and everything else. We're just going to give our leans going into this week and the games that we're going to watch. So I'll start. My game is going to be Idaho State and UNLV. Watch that one for the scoring total. And then Stanford at Hawaii. If you look at the history of that contest, you know, Stanford travels pretty well when they go to Hawaii. And, you know, the former Rainbows do not do so well when they play the Cardinal at home after a long trip, which is interesting. So those are the two that I'm looking at. Omar, what's your leans for this week?
So my leans in terms of line, so Stanford, Hawaii, I'm going to have to go on the opposite end of that one because I don't know, this offseason feels pretty special. I mean, there feels like an energy around Hawaii football. Micah Alejado had an amazing game in his first start at quarterback. Seems like people are bought into the program. They just got their new stadium announced. The Lilo and Stitch remake came out in the offseason. I've probably listened to Hawaiian Roller Coaster 100 times in the offseason, so it feels special. So I'm going to have to go Hawaii covering – against Stanford, because there is a lot of internal problems happening with Stanford, it does seem, with the whole Troy Taylor situation and quote-unquote Andrew Luck saying the program needs a clean reset. So I'm going to have to go Hawaii smashing that at home on national TV. Feels special. Then my second one, there's not really a line. I didn't really see a line, but I just want to showcase the MEAC SWAC challenge. I mean, shoot, I'd have to go, to be honest with you, North Carolina Central money line. They have a veteran quarterback in Walker Harris. And if you don't know, there's an inside joke. I forget the name of the linebacker, but there's an inside joke around the HBCU football community where him, the quarterback Walker Harris, who's a white man, and a linebacker who's also a white man, took a stepbrothers-like picture. So now they're called the stepbrothers. So if you look up North Carolina Central stepbrothers, it's quite hilarious. But beyond that, just watch that game just to see Southern's defensive end, Sakelby Givens, who had 27 and a half tackles for loss last year and 12 sacks. I mean, the MEAC SWAC challenge is just a great game early in the year. It's kind of a Celebration Bowl preview, but I'd have to go North Carolina Central money line because they return a lot of talent there in Durham.
All right. Sounds good. Dano, how about you?
Notwithstanding Scott McFarland from the Bosco Boys podcast is now a friend of the show. I got Iowa State in Dublin. They've won 4 out of the last 5, and I just think it's tough. They beat Kansas State in a crazy freaking game last year, and you know this is liable to be a crazy game too. Fresno State at Kansas is probably going to be a banger, but I don't have a line. And then give me Sam Houston plus 10 at Western Kentucky. That's just a huge line for a week 0 game in conference. You got to play a conference game in week 0. That is nuts.
Yeah, I don't think that's a recipe for success. Joe, how about you?
Yeah, you know, I kind of like Kansas. I kind of like Kansas State, to be honest with you. I know Dan said Iowa State, but maybe it's just the fact that they got one to give back to them. But right now, the line I'm seeing is -3.5. So, you know, maybe Kansas State 24-20. And I do like Sam Houston to cover 10.5 against Western Kentucky. I think that's that's going to be one of those games that, you know, whoever has the ball last wins type. You know, Western Kentucky's been known to light it up, Sam Houston as well. So I just think 10.5 points, man, the backdoor cover is so easy on one of those. Meaningless touchdown when you're down 17 and they cover. So I think Sam Houston covers that. But some very loose predictions. I will say I'll be taking the Buckeyes at home in week 1, but we'll get to that.
Sounds like a plan. All right. Hey, so we're at the end of the show. One quick thing that we want to talk about is like, how can you help Ask for Football? We are significantly growing this year. We grew last year. We're growing this year, and teams getting bigger. Offerings are getting bigger, and we're doing a lot more. But for those of you that like Ask for Football content, we send out a mailing list. It's a one email a week with a link to all the content. And speaking of that, I'm gonna do a shameless plug for Omar. Omar wrote a great piece came out absolutely. This week on, you know, the top 5 underrated players in the Monken era, which is great. And I mean, it's a good article, but it also kind of gets you thinking, reminiscing of some of the times that Army wasn't so great, but we still had really great players. And so that was a really good callback to that. As mentioned, we have a Patreon, which allows you to support the show. Like most of the people that are on the Patreon are in the chat right now. We do the College Football Roundtable open just to get more eyes on the show. But if you really are a diehard Army football fan, we encourage you to join the Firstie Club. It gives you opportunity to interact with us during the show. You also may have noticed a ton of more photos and interviews coming out of As for Football social media. And that's due to Lynn Fern, who is coming on as basically our sideline photographer / interviewer. And so she is, you know, for lack of a better term, Johnny on the spot. So she does a lot of great content, and you'll see that throughout the course of the season. Bottom line, all this expansion for As for Football coverage costs time and money, and anything that you guys can do to support the show is huge. So we can only do this with your help. And really, if you're going to invest in something also as significant as a home purchase or a mortgage, invest in the people that are investing in As for Football that are keeping us on the platform. And that's Craig and Jocelyn. They are both great people, excellent human beings. And hey, support them because they support us. If you like us, we're not going to steer you in the wrong direction. And they're great people. Lastly, if you haven't noticed on the website, we opened an As for Football store. So there's tons of merch. I say tons. There's merch that's available. It will grow over the course of the season and probably over the course of years. But definitely opportunity for you to get your fly new AFF gear. I have my old shirt on. I'm waiting for my new ones to come in the mail. And then just a great time to watch Army beat the hell out of Tarleton State. So just get your merch. And hey, does anyone have a favorite thing?
So we did a excellent interview, like I said, with Scott McFarlane from the Bosco's Boys podcast. He's the world's greatest K-State podcast. The dude does 5 shows a week, which is insane. Like, he is a legitimate sicko. And so this show is kind of our week zero preview, because we're going to do that show as part of this one. And then, you know, that one went 35 minutes. And so we just broke it off as its own week zero show. So we're trying to get you ready for that big game in Ireland. And let me tell you, we just got an actual expert to talk about it. And it's a pretty good interview. Feedback has been real good. So definitely check that out.
Yeah. Thanks, Dano. So yeah, this is the end of the week zero college football roundtable. So we're kind of splitting it. So you'll get this, the video version will be out. The audio will come out shortly thereafter, as well as the Bosco Boys interview. So you're going to get a little bit of extra content from Ask for Football this week, which is okay, I think. And yeah, we're going to wrap it up. So here for the crew at the Ask for Football College Football Roundtable, I'm Rob the Angry Colonel calling to you out of Fayetteville, North Carolina. We got Trigger Joe calling to you out of the home of the Big House. We got Omar in the great Pokey State. And we got Dano Icabesa calling out of Coastal Connecticut. And hey, look, we'll keep doing them if y'all keep listening. So we will talk to you guys next week. And as always, beat Tarleton State.
Beat them.
Thanks for joining us on the Ask for Football College Football Roundtable. Special thanks to our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. If you're buying or selling, reach out to Jocelyn for expert service. If you enjoyed the show, please consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/askforfootball. Your support will help keep the lights on and bring in more great content. Plus, you'll get access to exclusive perks and behind-the-scenes extra. Thanks for being a part of the Ask for Football community. Go Army, beat Navy, and we'll catch you guys next week.